repentance. We're going to spend a few moments talking about the results of their passion to get right with God. When they read the Word of God, it convicted them greatly. And when they were convicted, they found out that something was missing. And when you find out something is missing, you do everything you can to get it back. And some things only a one-time go-around, I guess. Is that right? I've wobbled and all around today, and I thought, man, I'd like to have a back brace tonight. Parts of me feels as brittle as a toothpick, while there's a part of me that wants to stand and represent God. I don't know. I struggled with the thoughts of what I even had to preach this morning, let alone having to come back and look at it tonight. A little bit of the thoughts that we have now is that we know the kind of people that were involved in the rebuilding of the wall. Nehemiah was a great statue of a person. He held up his means in the world. He stood faithful in his duties among society. And, you know, God can use people that are committed in this life. And we ought to understand that God's interested. God's eliminating all excuses. This morning I said that we ought to be honest about our mistakes. Tonight I want us to talk a little bit about how we ought to be open with our praise. When God does something that we're requested. Remember I quoted you, I read a church sign that said, the things that we take for granted other people are praying for. Some things we're leaving outside, and we ought to be mindful of where God is at work. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. A new obedience was required in their lives. And I think that that's one of the things that we need to look for in our own lives. Amen? The only bad thing about whatever has gone around in the last month is it has a way of lingering. Let's stand as we read God's word tonight. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 2 and read verse number 3 along with it. And then I'm just going to try to preach for a couple of minutes. And you'll be able to go to the house and enjoy what you normally do. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 2. If you found it, would you say amen? Amen. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers. That's a dividing line. I don't care whose book you read it in, that's a dividing line. They got serious enough about serving God that God didn't have to prod them to do it. They were ready to do it. Amen. That's where you and I need to get to in our lives. We need God to put it in our heart. Man, I'm not living a separated life because you demand it. I'm living it because I believe it helps me in serving Jesus. Amen. Amen. So the Bible said that the seed of Israel. Now you've got to understand, this seed was a pipeline of divine truth. Not only was God working in their lives from the past, but God was now rebuilding their lives in the present. Now let me just knock some. Well, y'all are so kind. Just go ahead and be seated. I'm excited now. I needed that. I needed that win. Do you understand that these people that are now going back to rebuild their lives and rebuild their country, that they were a people of failure? Now, this is what the devil would like for us to believe tonight, that if we ever missed it and we failed and we've fallen short of God, that we'll never recover. That's a lie right out of the pit. Amen. It is so great to even think that God would reach into the dust of time and raise up people and let them know that he's going to take care of them. The Bible said in verse number 2, and the seed of Israel separated themselves. You know what they were saying? We're a different people. We're a different breed. By the way, they were not professing they were perfect. They were just professing that they knew in whom they have believed. And I don't care whether you look in the Old Testament or you look in the New. Salvation is by faith. God said that about Abraham. He accounted it to him according to what the Bible said. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers. Now I know this is going to be tough. But you understand that when we get to that place in our life, we don't care what we've got to sever in our life. We're more interested in God than we are anything. Yes, sir. When you get to a point in your life that things are critical and dangers are imminent, it will prompt you to do and make commitments you've never made before in your entire life. Man, I don't have to ask nobody. If the bridge says the bridge is out down the road, I'm not going to threaten them by thinking that I can jump the bridge. It's nonsense. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed. I kind of like that idea. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Man, they got bold. They got bold in talking about themselves. I want you to understand something. I did a little research. I dug up that word for stood. And it means that they literally rose. They might have sat in silence for a long time, but God began to burn enough in their soul that it raised them up. I want to tell you what passion for God will do. It'll make you stand and say, I'm sorry and I was wrong. That's what it means. The Bible said they stood. Not only did they stand in confirmation that God was right and they were wrong, they were raising their lives saying, we're not going to live like this any longer. This morning I made a statement about they stood and then they confessed. When they stood, guess what happened? Their lip got a quiver in it. They began to bemoan the things that they did that were all wrong. I want to tell you something. It's bad when children leave home and they don't do right. But I tell you, it's a wonderful thing when they finally get right and come back home. One of the greatest blessings in the New Testament is reading about that prodigal son. By the way, if you do a little research, you'll find out what a prodigal is. The nature of the prodigal. The name of the prodigal. The news of the prodigal. Man, I don't have time to preach, but that'll preach. Praise God. When he was over there sucking up slop out of the hog pen. And a Jewish boy don't do that. Do you know what sin will do to you? It'll make you go places you never dreamed you'd go. It'll make you do things you never dreamed you'd do. And great God Almighty, feeling better about it now, the Lord of glory began to work in their life and help them. The two things that I classified these people by. Number one, they were burned out and broken down. I want to tell you something about this nation tonight. She is broken. She is broken. She needs fixing on a lot of levels. And I've got good news for her tonight. I don't plan on changing my citizenship. Not here in this country or the one to come. Great God, that's worth shouting about right there. I don't mind. Listen to me. I know everything's not perfect. And the only thing I can tell you is it'll never be perfect till we get inside the pearly gates. Won't that be wonderful? God is faithful. So the Bible said that what they did is they stood and they confessed. What did they confess? The only thing that you can confess, your sins and the iniquities of their fathers. You know what they said? I should have known better.
Yes, sir.
By the same time, they concluded all we did was follow what our forefathers have done.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's hard for me to get through my knucklehead. My kids are going to make mistakes. I know they are, but I don't feel too good about it.
That's right.
Go ahead, preacher.
Did you feel that way about your kids?
That's exactly right.
I mean, under God, you do everything that you can to try to forewarn them and to tell them what's going on and to make them believe. But you know what? Sometimes life has to be the teacher, and sometimes God has to be the instructor. You said, what can God do to a burned and broken people? He can revive them. He can stir them up again. That's what the 37th chapter of Ezekiel is all about. God putting life in people.
Amen.
I didn't feel this good about it this morning. He said they stood and they confessed their sins. Now, I want to go back and elaborate just a small amount on what I said this morning. I asked the question publicly. Had anybody ever committed the same sin more than once? Well, that word is the word for habitual sin. You know, the kind that you do over and over and over. And somebody said, well, when will I stop it? When you get broken over it. You know what I'm talking about? I'm going to tell you, I've said this over and over and over and over and over again. If a drunk has been a drunk, he don't need no beer and no liquor on his property. He don't need people hanging around him that drink that stuff. He needs a new set of friends. You said, why? Because it's a temptation to him. And I've heard these sanctified fellas tell me about all that stuff that they've seen and how ungodly it is. But it also reminds me that they know so much in detail.
Yeah.
They must have been observing it. Boy, I can see now that what God wanted to do for that nation is that he wanted to restore her. He wanted to revive her. They stood. The Bible said that they stood after having separated themselves and they confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. That's what the book said. Notice it didn't stop there. That's normally the way that it is. When they got to where they were, the Bible said that they stood up in their place and read the book of the law. They read the book of the law of the Lord, their God. Now, I want to tell you something. When you get to the point in your life and I get to the point in my life that I'm willing to bow down to what God wants, reading the Bible will be a privilege.
Amen.
It won't be a hardship. It won't be a grind. Praise God. I've had people tell me they don't want hard preaching. Well, Lord God, there's probably a bunch in hell didn't want it either. According to what I read in my Bible, she's enlarged herself. There's a lot of people probably in hell didn't like preaching. I don't believe that I'd join up with the crowd, do you? I mean, the dead end road is clear. Boy, when I started thinking about that, I started thinking about what did they mean when it said they stood in their place and read. Number one, it meant that they were clear about what they needed. Man, they stood for hours and heard the word of God read. They confirmed for hours that that's what they needed in their life. They continued for hours knowing that that would be a life to their soul. They got stirred up in the great God Almighty. The Bible said it was like milk, listen, for a baby. And when you start thinking about that, it'll excite you. They stood in their place and they read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day. For hours they stood. You know what? People got a misconception about what serving God's all about. They look at too many inconveniences. I also made a statement this morning and I asked the question publicly. How many in this room remember a day when there was never a store open on Sunday? Used to, people didn't have 100 places to go on Sunday. All they did was associate with their families and sit around the table. And bless God, there wasn't no Pac-Man and Boogie Bump and all that other stuff that they are playing. It just come right down to where we were. Bless God, family used to matter. It used to mean something to take your children and go down to the house of God. I'm here to tell you that, men, when they started confessing, it opened up a whole new world to them. Great God up in heaven. I'm feeling better about it. Something happens in my life. When I start confessing, man, when I start getting honest with God, the Bible said they stood not only to declare their abiding and declare their confirmation and declare their continuing, declare their stirring up and declare their strengthening up. They're now set up to do something. They are enjoining their lives to what's going to make a difference. That's what we need in our lives. That's what we need in our families. I would to God they could get the word out on every corner that we need God back in our lives. And I know prayer don't mean too much by not being in the school because it never was in some places called the home. What a shame it is. What indictment it is against all truth. But the Bible said that they stood in their place for 1/4 part of the day and another 1/4 part they confessed. In other words, the more that they heard from the Bible, the more they wanted out of their life. I want to tell you, praise God, the Lord will give you a new beginning, give you a new place to start, give you a new standing in a reality, and you don't have to worry about it. I won't I hear people all the time. I made reference just a week ago about a fellow I heard say that it took him a long time to try to pray and get God to forgive him. And I made a statement to him. I said, sir, it just let you know it didn't take God a long time to forgive you of nothing. I said, God forgave you a whole lot quicker than you knew he did. It just took you a little bit of time to get over it.
Right.
You know that? You don't have to beat and bang and scream and holler to try to get God to love you. He's going to love you whether you love him or not.
That's exactly right, preacher. Amen.
Now, don't you misunderstand me. I believe if a person gets right with God, there will be some remorse over their wrongdoing.
Amen.
Now, I never have gauged people's experience on whether they won't get eternal life or not. You've got to do it just like the book says. You've got to believe in your heart.
Yes, sir.
And you've got to confess with your mouth. And when you believe that God raised him up from the dead, that means that God can regenerate you. God can regenerate me just by accepting the gift of eternal life. That's what he declares for us. Notice when the fourth part of the day, they confessed. It's what the book said. They read from the book of the law. Now, let me just give you a couple things. I know y'all are very intelligent people. But the book was the evidence. We got so many things that just don't have it. No evidence in this stuff. And I look around and I hear them on the television. Man, makes my skin crawl. The stuff that people are telling other people that they've got to do to get a right standing with God. You don't have to send $100 to nobody. And you don't have to buy a new snot rag.
That's right, brother.
All you have to do is confess your sin to the Lord Jesus. Don't send that crowd. Said, I'll pray for you if you send me $100. Bless God, I'll pray for you if you send me nothing.
That's right. Amen.
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 Yes.
Good.
That's right.
Misconception. They said they read from the book of the law. The book of the law was the pronouncement or the publication that revealed the man his condition. Now I know I've often been confronted about this, but I am not a legalist. I'm a conservatist. And I make no apology for being conservative. You said, how conservative are you? Conservative enough to tell you that I believe what's in this book with no exceptions. You said, don't you know man had his hand in it? The only thing that man had his hand in was God taking over him to get it to me.
That's right. Amen.
It's a miracle in itself.
Amen.
That's right.
I'm just stupid enough to believe that.
Yes.
I'm just crazy enough to believe that. I believe that book. The law was the informing of the people. It was the instruction of the people, the teaching of the people. In the day that Moses gave them the law helped man differentiate between what was good and what was bad. Now listen, class. Do you know what the big dilemma is in this world today? Is people have trouble defining what's right and what's wrong.
That's right. Amen.
And it's not going to get better because Isaiah said that they would come and the time would come when men would call evil good and good evil. I think it looks pretty much like the scenery of our day, doesn't it? Yes. Yes, he said of our God. And they confessed. Now, I want you to notice something that happened when they read the book of the law. Then the Bible said, and confessed their sins. It's a little different notation when you get to the word confessed their sins. It's like they finally came to the place. It's an animated word. It literally means to lift the hands forward, as if to reveal oneself completely and totally before God Almighty. You know, there's some things that don't you get the wrong impression. Don't you stand up in this church at no time and tell everybody in this church all the junk you've ever done in your life. That won't help you a bit.
No, sir, it won't.
You need not get out on that. That'll just create a monster. I've had people leave this church because they got emotionally stirred and stood and told what happened in their family a long time ago, and then they were so embarrassed, and their family was so embarrassed, they couldn't come back. You with me? Now, I'll tell you something. I don't mean this because I'm trying to belittle what true confession's all about, but I don't think that God was saying that we had to come and confess all of that just each other. These folks, in my honest, godly opinion, they finally came to the point that they were so conferring with God that it didn't matter who was beside them. What they were confessing was that there was personal corruption. And other than that, I'm not taking it any further than it is. It just means that they finally got to the point that they could give thanks because God gave them an opportunity to come clean. And notice what the final word of verse number 3 said. Not only did part 4 said in a fourth part, they confessed. And then what after the conjunction and? Worshiped the Lord their God. Now, do you understand there are three things, maybe four, that we need to be mindful of? Number one, when they got down to what they call worship there, you take that Hebrew word and you dissect it. It means to pay homage to. It literally means to prostrate oneself before him. You've heard them saying of bowing to the king. It literally means to depress oneself to the point that I surrender myself and I submit myself to God. It literally means to bow down to. Hey, I want to tell you something publicly tonight. I'm not ashamed to bow down to God. Last time I checked, that's where it belongs.
Amen.
It means to stoop before him. I don't know how to adequately define this, but I'll tell you something else I found. It meant to literally lay down flat. Can I tell you what I think that's realistic? I think it is indicating that's as far as you can go with it.
That's exactly right.
Now, just think it reasonably now. I mean, you can't prove me wrong.
That's right.
The word says in the Hebrew, it literally means to lay flat before. Where else are you going to go? I mean, I've seen people get down through here, and man, they were, I don't mean this bad, but I've been to a lot of different churches, and when I went to the Church of God church when I was a boy, they were just said, pray on through, pray on through, pray on through. Well, I found out I could pray and pray and pray, and if God didn't come through, I wouldn't get nowhere.
That's exactly right. Yes, sir.
But you know what I really think they were trying to say? Get it all out. Now, I ain't going to come in here and fuss and create a fight tonight over doctrinal differences. There's some things you'll never change my mind on. I believe I'm headed for heaven with the hammer down. And ain't nothing going to get in the way of that. Settle. I already got my ticket. All I'm waiting for the whistle to go off.
Yes, sir.
You said, where you get that from? The shout. He said, it's what he said. The rapture of the church means there's a shout going out. Now, I'm not really sure about that shout business because he said the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be called up. All I can tell you is that God won't have no trouble calling them from the grave into the clouds. According to Thessalonians chapter 4. You still with me, class?
Amen.
Oh, I want to tell you right now, burned and broken, and God restores them.
Amen.
I know a lot of people's been burned in life, do you?
Amen.
I know a lot of people. I'm talking about church people.
Yes,
son, they gone.
Yes, sir.
They've had it. I mean, I've had, listen, the truth is I've had people that narrow it down for me. And preacher, I just can't do that. Mm-hmm. Or I'm just not willing to give this up. Mm-hmm. I said, well, the person you need to tell that to is God, because all I'm here doing is listening to what you're telling me, and I'm not going to be able to do one thing about what you're telling me. You got to decide this for yourself.
Amen.
You said, I don't believe that ever happens. Mm-hmm. Well, then why would the Lord say, could a man do this and lose his own soul?
Yes, sir.
What shall it profit a man
if he gain the whole world?
If he gain the whole world and lose his own soul. Oh, I want to tell you something. When God said that they worshiped him, they worshiped the Lord their God. Well, there's a long list It named them, those Levites, Jeshua, Bani, Kadmiel, Shebani, Buni, Sherebiah, Bani, Kaniah, and they cried with a loud voice. And the Bible said in the latter part of verse number 4, unto the Lord their God. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you something. This didn't just pick up on one or two people.
Right.
It caught the whole crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it is.
I mean, I did pull these guys' names out. You know, Joshua, his name declares he will save.
Amen.
Bani is means built. Kadmiel, presence of God. Shebani, Yah has grown. I'm here to tell you, God knows what it takes to change people's lives. And to a burned and broken people, God worked in them. But they cried. In verse number 4, the Bible said they cried. They cried not only from anguish, they cried from the pits of danger. They knew they needed God.
Amen.
Let me give you just a small analogy. You ever notice that when they began this work, in the earlier chapters, they were taught how to put the wall back together. God gave them instructions, remember?
Yes, sir.
He told them to be prepared with one hand and
a weapon in
another. Now listen. People try to make everything physical. And as much as they may have faced a physical enemy, their greatest enemy was spiritual. You said, how do you know? Because don't you remember that crowd said they'll never put things back together? Many times they were always challenged.
Exactly right.
Well, if they put it back, a fox run across it. I mean, she just crumbled to nothing.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the devil's always trying to intimidate us. To a burned and a broken people, God said, I can help you. I can raise you. They cried unto him. It literally means two things. They heralded by announcement, but they also convened by their own wills. They cried unto the Lord. And the Bible says in verse number 4 that when they cried, it was pretty evident they cried with a loud voice. There's several English words that they used to describe what they meant by loud. It was noble, it was much, it was exceeding. There's a lot of different words that are synonyms for this action. But they cried with a loud voice. The word for voice comes from a very animated term known to a shepherd as the bleating of the sheep. I always thought it would be wonderful to go over to Israel and not have to be in a hurry and just kind of walk with the people to see how it really was. I observed a lot more than people thought I was observing. And I listened to things that people didn't think I was listening to. I was trying to find out what's the general gist. How are those people thinking? You know what I found out? Their thinking is not much different than ours. But I was able to capture some things that helped me. One was the way the shepherd managed his sheep. He walked among them. Oh, Lord God, you ain't never been on a trip like you've been when you've been with God.
That's right,
man, I could see him have that old staff in his hand. And I was so amazed. I know I've told you, but I'm going to tell you again. He would sing to them. You know, they claim little old sheep, they got many characteristics. But one of the characteristics of sheep is they're very timid.
Yes, sir.
Very fretful.
Yes, sir.
You know, easily distracted and easily disturbed. You said, I don't believe it. Why do you think God said what he said? He said, he leadeth me beside the still waters. They were taken there. God made sure that they were looked after. But I could hear that old, when I rode that old motor coach out, headed to that old Dead Sea out across that desert, I seen this old shepherd across the hill, and every once in a while they stopped that old motor coach. And I thought, I wonder what he's saying. And you could hear him. He was singing to the sheep. He wasn't standing behind them. Get out of here. He was just walking. He was just walking among them, singing to them. And man, they were just falling. They was just as calm. And you know, some of them was in the front and some of them was in the back. But the one thing you could tell about all of them, they were together.
Yes, sir.
Man, they were following. Even though that there may have been a few hovered up around him, they all knew they're going to wind up with him when they finally stopped for the night.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that the way it is with our God? Cried with a loud voice, according to what my Bible said. They cried with a loud voice unto the Lord their God. Now, there's one way that you can determine the kind of person God is, because the word for God there means that he is exceeding, he's mighty.
Yes, sir.
About any conservative commentator will declare to you that the word for God there is the word Elohim. He's a mighty God. Mighty for what? Mighty for not only putting the walls back together, but he's mighty for putting their families back together. I don't think I've ever seen a time when families are so disarmed as they are right now. I mean, attack from all areas. And you know what? People are looking for such gratitude in so many areas. Some of them have gotten in financial trouble over it. Homes have voids and emptiness in them. Can I explain that to you?
Yeah.
And they're trying to buy goods that will make their home life better. I want to tell you what will make your home life better, and you don't have to buy it. You just have to desire it and reach for it. It's God.
Amen, preacher.
Amen. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with having things as long as the things don't get between you and your God.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I know how people are. They think you ought to ride around with a half a fender on your car and half painted and all that stuff. I don't buy all that.
No, I don't either.
Bless God. I'll just be honest with you. I go to preach a meeting. I make sure mine's washed and cleaned up. I don't want them to think I'm a nasty preacher. Now, I have been nasty. I have gotten nasty. I run into little old Justin Walker down when I went to eat lunch. And, oh, preacher, yeah. Hey, I said, Justin, I had a knit shirt on and a pair of khaki pants. I said, can you believe what I preached in today? And he looked at me real funny. I said, do you think I preached in this? He said, no, sir. I said, no. You know, some people don't think I'm human. Miss Tara said, I don't think I've ever seen you in casual clothing. I said, I am human, aren't I? I said, you ought to see me with that Harley hat on. I wear that hat, Brother Dean, everywhere it goes. I like it. You know, it's amazing. That hat looks like it's got the Harley emblem on it. But it's got the words of God in the face of it. Everybody sees that. You know, I don't say much about it. Every once in a while, I just run into people. I carry a few pieces right there in my pocket. When somebody gives me something, I walk around. Every time I run my hand in my pocket, Brother Jerry, I think about you. Every time I pull that out. You know, I think I told you one day, Brother James, them little pieces every once in a while that I get that they don't nobody know about, I got a special place for them pieces. Huh. You know, used to people had what they called Sunday stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they had Sunday clothing.
Yeah.
I don't know. This generation's got so much. You youngins don't have no idea. Under God, when I went to school, we took our clothes off when we came home. And we put them up. We put on the old rags, boy, because mama bought us new clothes every year about school time. I don't know how it was down here, but we got a new pair of Brogans when I was a boy. Y'all know what they are? I ought to know because I got my mouth filled to heal one of them one time. Playing horses. I want to tell you something. God spoke to a burned and a broken people. I know we got to finish and get carried away. Y'all ever get carried away? They had a new obedience. They had a personal confession. But the end result was they had a restored church. You know, I'm so grateful that my God's not a dead God. and I've done some added reading. You said just how great did it get? It got great enough by the time you get down to about the middle of verse number 5. They said, stand up and bless the Lord. That's what they said. They said, stand up. You know what? I wish to God that we could do this and not be branded in church life. You know, like I appeal to people, make a decision today. It'll help you.
Amen.
It'll be good for your life. It'll be good for your family. And that word for stand means to literally to rise up, to be clear. To some it would be stir up, man, wake up.
Yes, sir.
And bless the Lord. You mean you want me to get up just so I can bow down? That's exactly what I mean. It didn't conclude there. It said, bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Bless thy glorious name. You'd think it said, bless thy glorious works. It's not what that book said right there. It said, bless thy glorious name. Do you know that God wouldn't actually have to show his hand? There were certain words that they wouldn't even use in the Hebrew language because they considered it so holy, they wouldn't even use his name.
Amen.
How about it? I keep trying to tell people. We just get hung up on stuff. You know, we pick up little slangs along the way, don't we? You know, I don't mean this bad. I don't use it down at my house, so don't y'all think nothing about it. But where I was raised, they used to use statements like, go tell the old lady to, oh, God.
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
You better be careful with that. Uh-huh. You know, I, a lot of them old-timers did that, and they didn't mean nothing about it. But you know what I found out? There's a more respectful way.
Yes, sir.
To address people than that.
Yes, sir.
You ladies say amen right there. Hey. I want to tell you right now, God's got a good way of doing this. And by the way, if you've been saying that, it'd be a good day to stop it.
Yes, sir.
Amen? Most of the times, that just sounds good. You know, you get around people and they go to throwing their back out. And you better be careful. You'll all get your back broke. That frying pan hit you behind the head, son. I'll lock you into another world. Sure as a world. Well, they were burned and broken. God restored them from decline. God restored them to reevaluating their efforts. And that's what I'd like to encourage us to do. I'd like to encourage us to let God help us like he helped them. They confessed to God their wrong. They were honest about their life. And when they got done, they just praised him because he had forgiven them. You know, man, I appreciate the Lord working. I felt bad about things that were injustice when I was a kid. And I used to wonder how some folks could lay down and sleep at night. And they just act like it didn't bother them a bit. I'll tell you something about your preacher tonight. I couldn't go out and stick a liquor bottle to my lips tonight and it not bother me.
No, sir.
I'd rather my life just be kind of calm from here on in. I wished it would. Probably ain't. But I'd rather make friends than make enemies. I'm just so, man, it means so much. You never know how people respond. I went in the store. I don't know. I said, this is Sunday, Saturday. Did we go in the Big Lot store yesterday? The day before yesterday. Thursday evening, Friday evening, I went in the store, and there's this black guy and this black lady, and I don't know, might have been her other little old daughter, and I seen that little girl pushing that baby, looked like a baby's, what do you call that little thing they put babies in? Huh? I go, well, it was in a buggy. Why would a car seat be in the buggy?
They had a car seat in the buggy.
Had a car seat in the buggy. You know that for a fact? And I said, I just peeped around and looked, and there's a little black baby in that buggy, and it had the curliest little hair, and it was just so bright-eyed. And, of course, to know how much Dolores loves babies, I said, how about spend that around a minute and let her look in that buggy? And when they spin that buggy around, that baby looked at Dolores and just broke off a laugh. And I said, "That's a, we all do the same thing. You know, she just, and here's my point. You could have seen the look on that father's face and that mother's face when somebody admired their child. That's my point. They were very proud. And I thought, you know, my dad is a whole lot more prouder than that.
Amen.
When that crowd finally got back together and that wall had been rebuilt, and
yes, sir.
Man, they got their youngins and their families all in there. It said the nation, the seed of Israel. Uh-huh. Now you better start adding, buddy. That ain't just pocket change. Right. The seed of Israel is what it said.
Amen.
And they got all together. You can only imagine what kind of a meeting they had.
Yeah.
And God would determine us to have the same kind of joy. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege tonight of being in this place with these people. Lord, we're living in a world that's got all kinds of turbulence in it, all kinds of problems. And we know we don't live in a trouble-free world. But we're glad that we serve a God that knows how to handle the trouble. Father, I pray that you would help these people as they step outside the circumference of this building to go out into the world. Help them to have an impact that is spiritual by nature, that would be a drawing factor for folks to come and see that we can be honest about serving God, we can be honest about confessing, and God will forgive. Thank you that you help burned and broken people. And Lord, when you do that, we want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The end results is our worship. And for what you do for us, we bless you in Christ's name. Amen. Let me make one final conclusion.